Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I am of course William Mamo. Hey, what's up, Macaulay?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. You?
Doing good. Just watching some NFL football.
Oh yeah. So far, it's been a tale of two cities. You know, we're gonna talk about what's going on with the football teams momentarily. You know, we're gonna lead off probably for the second to last time in a while. We're going to lead off with a little baseball, then talk a little football, and then, you know, ended up with a little sports entertainment and, you know, the recap of what happened at Night of Champions and what else happened in, you know, sports entertainment. Of course, folks, you know the number. It's 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. Feel free to talk sports, entertainment, everything else. You know the deal. So without further ado, let's lead off with a little history. And of course, today was a very memorable day in New York sports, especially in baseball, an end of an era. Today was the day at Yankee Stadium when two hometown heroes, Andy Pettit, or as you like to call him, Andy Pennitt, and Mariano Rivera, arguably the greatest closer of all time, they both pitched their last game of their career at Yankee Stadium, barring a miraculous Yankee playoff push, which is all about done. You know, today was a very memorable day. And, of course, Yankees, you know, they had a very memorable day. Mariano was honored before the game, before Pettit started his last game, you know, at Yankee Stadium, his second to last start of his career. And, you know, they had a great ceremony for Mariano. You know, his family was there. His former teammates were there and current, obviously. And unfortunately for the Yankees, you know, it was a 2-1 loss. And it was the end of an era. And with that, I guess you'll give us a little recap of, you know, the Yankee-Giants series and especially today's game.
Yeah, it's they had a 50-minute pregame ceremony to honor Mariano, since, you know, that would be his last time pitching in Yankee Stadium. And they retired his uniform number, 42, in Monument Park. And you had his family there, and you had former players like Jorge Posada come out, and former manager Joe Torre. Paul O'Neill, you know, his former players were there. I mean, it was great to see. I mean, the last time that you're going to see Mariano pitching in Yankee Stadium, and it was a great, you know, gesture and tribute to, you know, retire his jersey just before he retires. And, yeah, I mean, him and Pettit, they combined for the most save-win combination in baseball history. They have about 72 win saves, you know, in baseball. So today was also the last day that Pettit would be pitching in a Yankee uniform at Yankee Stadium, since he announced he's retiring last week. So, you know, both of these guys have been a staple for our franchise. They've been, you know, they've won us many games, many championships, many pennants. And today was the last time we saw them pitch at Yankee Stadium. And unfortunately, Pettit didn't get the win, even though he pitched good today.
Absolutely.
And Mariano pitched for 1 2/3 innings, but, you know, he couldn't get the save since the Yankees could only score one run today, and we ended up losing the game 2-1. And right now we're about 3-4 games out of the wild card. I mean, mathematically we're not out of it, but realistically it looks like we are. So, Yankees, we just have to play out from now and hope these other teams win out. But it doesn't look good right now for the Yankees as far as getting a wild card spot.
You know what was weird about watching the game? You know, it really reminded me of the last day at Shea. You know, the Mets, you know, the Mets fans, you know, were happy to see all their, you know, their all-time great players, you
mm-hmm.
know, on the field. You know, they honored, you know, two of the greatest players that they had, you know, they have in their history, in Pettit and Mariano Rivera. And, you know, at the end of the game, you know, just like the Mets, in their last day at Shea, you know, they lost the game. So it was like a weird, bittersweet day. It's, you know, a day to honor people who, you know, represent your uniform well and played well in New York. But then at the end of the game, you know, the end result of the game, you know, it was unfortunate, you know, that the game resulted in a loss.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, a great day ruined by Yankee loss. I mean, Yankees still ended up winning this series 2-1, but
right, of course.
You know, couldn't win this game to keep us in the wild card. But, you know, again, mathematically not after, but, you know, four games, seven with six games to go, it doesn't look good right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So, you know, we have to hope these other teams lose, like Tampa and Texas and Cleveland, all those.
Rays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did say Tampa, my fault.
Yeah. So, hopefully they could lose, but we have to pray right now.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, you guys are not officially out of it, but, you know, don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but it looks like, you know, it's it's over, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of teams to leapfrog. I mean, sure, Yankees always they historically have historical comebacks, you know, when it comes to making the playoffs or winning the division, but there's too many teams to leapfrog.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, they're running out of games.
Yeah.
So it's not mathematically impossible, but it seems like and plus it's over for the Yankees. Plus, the bats, they haven't been consistent. You know, when they pitch well, they don't get the offense, and when they have the offense, they don't pitch well. You know.
Yeah, it's been an up and down season. A lot of injuries, and a lot of players in our lineup. You know, but it's been an inconsistent season, an injury-prone season with that also. So, you know, hopefully next year be more healthy, more consistent, and more, productivity from some of our veteran guys.
So, I mean, walk me through your day. When watching Mariano being honored, what was going through your mind?
Oh, I thought it was great. I mean, it was a great thing to see. Seeing the all-time great closer being honored, his uniform being retired. Usually, franchises wait to retire people's jerseys after, years after, you know?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I thought they were going to do it, next year, you know?
Yeah.
Have him come back and retire it, at the very earliest, but... I mean, hey, it makes sense, you know. Hey,
yeah.
You know, his entire family is there. Everybody who you're going to basically invite next year or 5 or 6 years when he gets officially gets inducted to the Hall of Fame, if you wanted to do it when he gets inducted, if you wanted to wait a few years to do that, then you would have had the same people come up. So, hey, it was great that they retired it. And, you know, you wait another, 6 years, and then he'll come back and be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and they'll honor him again.
Yeah, it was great to see. I mean, do it right now, and later on he'll get on with the Hall of Fame. But yeah, I mean, it was great. It's great watching that.
It was. And how was your emotions? Seeing Pettit take that last start, he pitched well, but unfortunately he didn't get the run support to, get that last win at, Yankee Stadium.
Well, I mean, it's always sad to see any of the great players retire. It's kind of sad that you're not going to see him pitch anymore, but, it's to happen. This is his second go around with the Yankees after, leaving the first time. So, this looks it's going to be, it will be legit. He won't be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, it was kind of sad. But, players have to move on. They can't play. They can't play forever, so.
Exactly.
I understand that.
And it's a good thing that both of the guys, they end out the way how they played most of their career.
Exactly.
Performed well,
Yep.
And that's all you could literally say.
Yeah, definitely.
And what was your reaction once, Giants recorded that last out?
I was like, there goes our playoff chances. I mean, that's what I said. All through the game, I was like, okay, if we don't score, we're out of it. That's what I was thinking. And when you got the last out, we had our chance in the eighth. When A-Rod had a single and then Cano had a double. But we fell to score in that inning, and when the Giants got the last out, I was like, there goes our playoff chances because there's not many games left to go. So, right now, realistically, it looks like we might not make it.
I have to agree with you.
Yeah.
I think they ran out of time, and there's like I mentioned earlier, there's too many teams for them to leapfrog.
Yeah.
So basically, Yankees are going to – Pettit has one more start. It's at his hometown and his former team, the Astros. So that should be another interesting start. We'll, of course, talk about that next week, how that went down. And shifting gears with the Mets, Mets went down to Philly, and a good thing they brought the boom because the Mets swept the Phillies. And today, Carlos Torres, a guy who he's you know, he's a throwback. He's kind of like your Ramiro Mendoza during the Yankee dynasty teams. You know, he'd come in relief, and you know he could start, he could spot start, or relief going long relief. Yeah, this guy's been doing it for the Mets this year. He got the win. He out-dueled, I'm not amused, Cliff Lee, because as you remember, he wasn't very amused at the All-Star game at Citi Field.
Yeah.
If you remember.
Right.
And you know, he had the lead. He was, you know, dominating the Mets. But Wilfredo Tovar, he's a Met prospect, a shortstop. He made his major league debut, and he went 2-for-4. His first major league hit was an RBI, single, which, I think it was a double, if I'm not mistaken. But his first hit, you know, knocked in the RBI, which gave the Mets the lead. And, you know, basically, you know, Mets tacked on an extra run. And, you know, Mets won by the final score 4-3. And LeTroy Hawkins, you know, a guy you're very familiar with, former Cub, former Yankee, former Twins. He got his 100th career. He had his 100th career save today.
Wow!
So congratulations to him.
Yeah. But out the brooms.
Hopefully that guy come back next year.
Yeah.
And that was the good news. Also, G1 yesterday, they got the game. Rained out in 7 innings, or six and a third or so, or maybe it was just 6 plus. I don't think there was ever out recorded. Right got on, let off the top of the 7th, so there was no out. So it was 6 plus innings, and the game got rained out. Dylan G won his 12th game, and yesterday, and basically, what was I gonna say? Zach Wheeler, his season's over because after his last start, he suffered some shoulder discomfort. So they shut him down. He was expected to pitch maybe one or two more games, but, you know, they're shutting him down as a precaution.
Wow. Interesting.
So, you know, basically, you know, hopefully Harvey will, you know, come back healthy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll have Wheeler, and hopefully they'll add some pieces to, you know, get themselves back, you know, in playoff contention next year.
Yeah, definitely.
But speaking of playoff contention, let's shift gears to football teams here. Your Giants, man, a team that, you know, many people, including myself, thought, you know, would be going to the playoffs. I mean, sure, it's early, but they lost today 38-0. They fell 0-3, and what's going on? What's going on with your Giants, man?
Yeah, man. Today was a horrible game to watch. I mean, the offense was not there today. The offensive line could not protect Eli. The Panthers ended up sacking him 7 times. And, you know, they couldn't really do anything offensively. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't pass the ball. They couldn't get first down yardage. I mean, it was a terrible game all around. I mean, the defense wasn't that bad, but the defense did give up some big plays. You know, Cam Newton ended up throwing for 3 touchdown passes, and he ran for another. Eli, you know, again, like I said, he was sacked, you know, like 7 times. He was 12-for-23, 119 yards, He had an interception. And, yeah, man, I mean, Giants ended up losing 38-0, their worst loss under Tom Coughlin. And this is one of the worst losses they've ever had in franchise history. And right now they're 0-3, and only five teams since 1978 have made the playoffs since 1978 after starting the season 0-3. So right now it's not looking good for the Giants.
They definitely need to get the act together, man.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have played as horrible as they played today. It was ugly football.
You know who the Giants are playing next week?
Let me check here. Let me see. Giants. Let's see the NFL schedule here.
Well, meanwhile, while you're looking for that, the Jets, as we speak right now, they're leading 17-16. And Nick Folk just kicked another field goal. So now the Jets are leading 20-6 in the third quarter, 9:40 to go. Geno Smith, he's been pitching. He's been playing his best game so far as a NFL player.
Yeah, best game of the season. And he's been targeting Stephen Hill, who has like 100, over 100 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, just at the halftime alone, he was 10-7. He threw for like over 170 yards. He threw for a touchdown, got an interception. I mean, he did throw an interception, so obviously he wasn't perfect, but he did have a 92, percentage coming into this third quarter, and you know he's playing well.
Yeah, definitely.
So hopefully, the Jets could keep it up.
Yeah, Giants play Kansas City next week. Kansas City's undefeated right now, and they're coached by Andy Reid, who's brought his defense from Philly over to Kansas City. So
and he beat his former team, the Phillies, a few days ago.
Yep. So,
congratulations to him.
Yeah. So another tough matchup for the Giants. Giants got to get back on their game because it's not looking good right now.
Yep. And they honored Donovan McNabb too also.
You're right. Right.
So, this is something we rarely say, but hey, congratulations to the Phillies for showing love to Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
Guys that they've been killing,
Right.
Throughout their tenure, but, that's kind of how it is, They did kill Mike Schmidt, but I guess, once those guys are gone, they appreciate what the guys did for them, and, now they're showing them the appreciation.
Yeah. Nice to see Philadelphia honor fictional heroes rather than...
like Rocky.
I mean, nice to see them honoring fictional heroes, I should say.
Right. Because Rocky's like their favorite athlete of all time. I mean, they care more about Rocky than Sylvester Stallone. My goodness. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, everybody loves Rocky, but, come on.
They have a statue for him.
I mean, come on. You have Joe Frazier, too.
I mean,
a real champion.
Yeah.
I mean, they got to show some love for the guys that, that play for them. But, hey, to their credit, they did. They did honor their, two of the greatest people who was associated with the Eagle organization. So,
yep.
Kudos for them. And switching gears, lastly, to an organization that hasn't been given respect to a guy who's basically having his best run of his career. And, of course, I'm talking about WWE with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
after he overcame, you know, defeating Randy Orton at Night of Champions last Sunday, the next day, Monday Night Raw, you know, I don't know about you, but I was really excited to see what was going to go down on Raw, you know, with Daniel Bryan finally winning the title, because, you know, I didn't think he was going to win it this Sunday. Not because I didn't think he could do it. Obviously, I thought he would. But I thought WWE was going to kind of milk, you know, him not, you know, chasing the title. So basically, what they did, in a way, I was sort of right, because yesterday they made, you know, Triple H stripped Daniel Bryan of the title because, you know, Scott Armstrong, who's really Road Dogg's brother in real life, he apparently, which is obviously true, Scott Armstrong did do a fast count, but when you look at the footage and you combine it with the fact that John Cena lost to Daniel Bryan at SummerSlam, the other pay-per-view before last Sunday's pay-per-view, Cena was legitimately knocked out. So it's a foregone conclusion that Orton was going to be knocked out for good. So even with the fast count, you know, Daniel Bryan beat Randy Orton fair and square.
Yeah. It's messed up.
And if you think that's messed up, WWE is probably, you know, reconsidering the storyline, because fans literally ask for refunds. That's their cable companies for refunds after what happened on Raw when he stripped the title.
Yeah,
I don't know if you heard about that.
I didn't hear about that, but that's, I mean, I would agree with the fans. I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Exactly.
They're trying their best not to, you know, have Randy Orton sustain the title or.
You mean Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, Daniel Bryan. Yeah, they're trying their best not to like sustain the title.
Yeah. I mean, I know they've done stuff like that with Stone Cold, but come on, man. People are really. I mean, this is not the Attitude Era. I mean, they only have maybe five guys on the entire roster that people really care about.
Yeah.
And for them to be trying to, I know this is part of the storyline to make, you know, people more interested in Daniel Bryan, even though, I mean, it's practically impossible for people to care more about Daniel Bryan than they do now, but, you know, they love seeing him doing the title chase, but I think they did it too quickly. They should have, you know, they should have made him chase the title for a few more months before he won it for the second time, or let him get the run that he deserves for a few months and then make him lose it.
Exactly.
But now they just tease the fans, and then they literally stripped it away from him. And, of course, you know, Triple H is acting like Daniel Bryan was, you know, in cahoots with, you know, Scott Armstrong, the referee, and that was his reasoning for stripping the title.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's a dumb decision. And, of course, the other big news is that Orton returned back to the Viper and basically destroyed Miz in front of his real-life family in his hometown, Cleveland. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that was vicious of him, man. he's going back to his old ways again.
Exactly. So the watered-down Viper we've been seeing the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And I heard the rumor is that they did this because they wanted Miz to turn heel again. Because as you completely see, Miz as a good guy doesn't work.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, he's not relevant right now.
Yeah.
Even if he tries to be.
He's like an annoying good guy, basically.
Yeah.
So they might as well turn him to a bad guy. Back to a bad guy.
He's much better as a villain.
Yep. And what are they doing to R2, man? They're ruining his career.
They've done that several times.
No. What was the third or fourth time that they ruined his career? I mean, just when people start to get behind him, they do the, you know, to ruin his momentum or whatever momentum he had.
Yeah.
With the little Jimmy turning him heel. Can't remember what else they did.
Although the little Jimmy thing with when he was teamed up with Miz, I mean, I'd say that was the most popular he was in WWE.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't you want me and all that stuff.
Yeah.
it was interesting. And then they just killed it.
Yep.
Because he apparently, you know, he got arrested. He got suspended because he did synthetic, marijuana, apparently.
Yeah.
And then that's what led to Miz turning on him the day after Survivor Series,
right,
2 years ago. But it's good. Another major thing. It was good that finally the locker room actually stood up to Triple H and the organization.
Yeah, finally.
And Big Show still looked like a big baby because he knocked out Dusty Rhodes, a guy he knew ever since his WCW days. And he went to the hospital, so he wasn't even one of the people who stood up to the organization. So I don't know what they're doing to the Big Show. I don't know whoever thinks this is going to make Big Show be more likable, that person needs to be fired immediately.
Yeah. He's a pussy right now, man. I can beat a Big Show right now.
We gotta keep it clean. But that's how I've been saying for years, man. And if you've been listening to the show for many years and you watch, you know, professional wrestling, man, it doesn't make sense, especially Big Show, for a giant to be a good guy when he's not fighting against another giant.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what ruined the whole Straight Edge Society, with Big Show feuding with CM Punk and the rest of the Straight Edge Society.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, you couldn't take CM Punk seriously as a bad guy, as a when Big Show is supposed to be the underdog.
Yep.
When he's like at least twice the size of CM Punk.
Yeah, man, they've killed this character. They're killing this character right now.
And how many times does he turn from a good guy to a bad guy without any explanation? I mean, the only person... I think he signed with Kane for the most heel face turns in professional wrestling history.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Kane is a good guy right now because he got beat up by the Wyatt family and he hasn't been seen ever since.
Yeah, that's true. You know what? Good thing you mentioned that because... I haven't seen him since then.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt and you know his family, basically you know beat him up in that Ring of Fire match, and he hasn't been seen ever since. I think it was at SummerSlam, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So yeah, he hasn't been there. And what else happened on? RVD is gonna face Alberto Del Rio again after winning by disqualification. So Del Rio is still the champion, the World Heavyweight Champion. What I'm thinking now is either the scenario I was having with, you know, Ricardo Rodriguez turning on him, but I'm thinking of another scenario that could happen. RVD finally wins it, the World Heavyweight title, first time in his career, but then Del Rio kicks him, super kicks him, and afterwards... Sandow cashes in the Money in the Bank.
Oh, you know, that's actually a good idea, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's why I think the two scenarios that might happen. I don't know if Ricardo Rodriguez is still going to turn on him. I mean, it could still happen. It's possible. Ricardo Rodriguez could still turn on. But if Ricardo Rodriguez turns on him, I think RVD would lose.
Yeah.
The only way I can see Ricardo Rodriguez turning on him is if RVD loses and Del Rio retains.
Right.
But the only scenario I can see RVD winning the title is if he wins it, he beats Del Rio, and then after Del Rio attacks him, and then after Sandow cashes in the bank, Money in the Bank on on RVD.
What
and what did you say?
No, I said that's an interesting scenario you brought up there. That might.
Yeah, I just thought about that yesterday. And another rumor is that Michelle McCool, you know, the one half of Lay Cool with Layla, she might return to WWE and possibly help, you know, her real life husband Undertaker in the, you know, the upcoming WrestleMania storyline coming up in the next couple of months.
Yeah, bring back Lay Cool.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That's about it, folks. Anything you'd like to say, Max?
Check out my podcast on Saturdays at 11, and check out this show, Sports of Legend, Sundays at 6.
You heard that, folks. Check out his show, I'm Max, 11 p.m. Saturdays, and my show, Sports of Legend, 6 p.m. Sundays, only on Blog Talk Radio. We'll call it Max.